This podcast is a Modahub Media production.
Hello people, welcome to another episode of the podcast. It's Benita here as usual on another episode, and I know I did ghost on the solo episodes last week, although I had an amazing guest episode out. So if you did not listen to that, make sure to go check it out. I had a fun time hanging out with my guest for the episode, Lucy, and it was amazing. Trust me, it took a lot for me to keep that episode under an hour, so we don't bore you guys, but it was so much fun. And funny story is, I did actually plan to put out a solo episode as promised last week on Friday, but you will not believe what happened. Like, I got in front of the mic and I was all ready to record, and I actually started recording, and then after paddling and everything, I realized that my recording at some point had gotten cut off, and I just could not for the life of me bring myself back to start thinking of, you know, the things I said and recording it again. It just was such a bummer, hence the reason why. But that's not going to happen this episode. We have sorted that all out and it's going to be fine progressing from now on. And I'm just glad to be back again checking in with you guys on this episode. And as usual, I've got a little throwback time for us, a little what's buzzing right now. I've also got a brand new element. I want to see what people's reaction to that is going to be, and I would really love for people to engage with it, which is called the question of the episode. You know, just not specific type of question, but just introspective questions, fun questions sometimes, and I would just love to hear your answers, and they could get featured in the next episode. And also as well, I've got a little thing on multitasking for us today, as well as the usual confessionals and the usual am I the assholes, and it plans to be a fun chill episode as it usually is. So whatever it is that you're doing, maybe you're listening to this while you're cleaning, while you're trying to get your chores down, I mean, we really do sometimes need that extra moral support whenever we're trying to get our chores done. Sometimes when I'm trying to do my laundry or I'm working, I just, you know, either turn on my favorite playlist or I tune into one of my favorite podcasts, which at the moment is Shits and Geeks. Also, let me know, what other podcasts do you guys listen to? Do you guys like to catch up on? I currently listen to Shits and Geeks the most, a lot, because it really just helps me get through a lot of things. It's really just so much fun. I listen to Shits and Geeks for now. There's also a bunch of other ones that I listen to, but at the moment I don't really listen to them as much. My top right now is just Shits and Geeks and The Mindset Mentor and Diary of a CEO, just those three, with Shits and Geeks being at the top, because god, with the way things are, you just need a little lightening up sometimes, which is really necessary. But without further ado, you know, I like to kick off the episode with a little throwback in time, and this episode we are going from seaplanes to Roman emperor assassinations to the Holocaust. And trust me, it took a lot going back in time. Reading these events that happened usually just shines some insights into things for me, and you'd be shocked how hard it is to find fun things that happened being recorded. Almost every single day when I go back and I'm like, okay, what happened today so years ago, is usually just sad news, bad news, deaths, lots of deaths. This week in history, it's just lots of bad news, and I tried my best to filter it out and just get us some that are a little light-hearted, because honestly, the world is heavy with heavy news each day as it is now, and we're not trying to do that on this podcast. We're just trying to chill. I'm not trying to start delving into my emotions and thinking. We're just trying to chill. So let us get into the first historic event that happened this week in history. And this one happened this week in 1910, which is 114 years ago. This week in 1910, Henri Fabre becomes the first person to fly a seaplane called the Fabre Hydravion after taking off from a water runway in France. Now, that must have been fun. I wonder what it must have felt like for people who were there that day to witness the event actually happening. And basically, a seaplane is a winged aircraft that is capable of taking off and landing on water, which, I mean, I feel like we should all know that. And for context, Henri Fabre was born on the 29th of November 1882 and was a French aviator and the inventor of the first successful seaplane called the Fabre Hydravion, which is what he flew this week in 1910. So I really like that one. It's really fun. I wonder the excitement the people must have felt being around to witness something like that happening. It's like our generation right now being around for so many innovative inventions, so many fun things that were like, oh my God, this is happening. It's just, it must have been so much fun. There must have been a bunch of people there to just watch it. And just picture if something like that were happening this generation, there'll be a lot of phones up, a lot of videos, and you know for sure when you get into TikTok, you're about to see, you're about to be flooded. Your FYP is about to be flooded with, oh, the Fabre Hydravion that took off today and all of that stuff. So it must have been really fun for the people of that time to witness it. Now, this one, not so fun, happened 82 years ago in 1942. So this is all, you know, was a part of the Holocaust. This week, Nazi Germany and Vichy France begin the deportation of 65,000 Jews from Drancy internment camp to the German extermination camps. It wasn't fun, guys. And the Holocaust basically was a genocide of European Jews during World War II that occurred between 1941 and 1945. We really live in better times, guys, because sometimes when I go back and look at some things that happened when I'm looking into this throwback tidbits to share with you guys, I see a lot of things that make me grateful to be living during this time. Because it's not as if it has entirely gotten easier. There's still a lot of terrible things happening to this day. And, you know, if you're lucky enough to live in places where it doesn't happen, then you really should be grateful. But I just feel like people have more of a voice. Things can be prevented. Even some things that still happen now can still be prevented and avoided. But, you know, humans not perfect. So there's always going to be one failing or the other. Now, this one happened 109 years ago in 1915. During this week in 1915, Typhoid Mary... The fact that they actually put Typhoid before her name, Jesus. Typhoid Mary was the first healthy carrier of the typhoid disease ever identified in the United States, was put in quarantine for the second time, and she remained in this quarantine for the rest of her life. Things like this are what make you feel like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. Because now you get the typhoid sickness. It's still a serious sickness, but I mean, you can always walk into the hospital and you know that they have treatments for it, and you get treated and you get out. She remained in quarantine for the rest of her life because she had typhoid, and I assume it's because they did not have the resources to treat the illness, which must have been something else. Imagine having to spend the rest of, you know, a life in confinement because of a disease that they couldn't find treatment for. That's then, typhoid must have just been equal to a terminal illness, which is something else, quite ridiculous. Now, this is just a fun tidbit. Happened 223 years ago in 1801. So during this week in 1801, the Treaty of Florence was signed, and it ended the war between the French Republic and the Kingdom of Naples. And you know, they had a bunch of wars back and forth during that time. France was always in one thing or the other. There was just a bunch of wars, the French War and all of that. And this treaty put an end to the war between the French Republic and the Kingdom of Naples. Now, last but not least, I have to share with you for the throwback happened 1,831 years ago in the year 193. During this week, in the year 193, after assassinating the Roman Emperor Pertinax, his Praetorian guards auctioned off the throne to Didius Julianus. These two things killed the emperor and auctioned. Auction means they must have paid for it. Like, it must have been a bargain thing because they didn't like just give it. They auctioned it. So it was must have been the highest bidder type of thing, which is just mind blowing. Imagine the fact that the person that is going to rule over you next, the next emperor that is going to be ruling over the kingdom that you reside in, is being judged by the highest bidder. That must have been scary times, but trust me, it gets even more fun, crazy, wild. Yeah, those are words I used to describe it. But let's first see. Publius Helvisius Pertinax was Roman emperor for the first 3 months of the year 193. So he was emperor for just 3 months, and he succeeded Commodus to become the first emperor during what was known as the tumultuous year of the five emperors. I know, sounds crazy, sounds ridiculous, but let me now break it down for you. The year 100 AD 193 in the Roman Empire was known as the year of the five emperors because during that year, five men claimed the title of Roman emperor. How many months is in a year? 12 months. So if five people were to rule, that means they each ruled for basically 3 months and a week each, 7 weeks each, if you were to put it down to average. Mad. Now, the five emperors that ruled during that year was Pertinax, followed by Didius Julianus, followed by Pescennius Niger, followed by Clodius Albinus, and lastly, Septimus Severinus. And this year started a period of civil war when multiple rulers fought for the chance to become the emperor. And what started this off was the murder of the Emperor Commodus on New Year's Eve of AD 192. This must have been an uproar during that time. This must have been something else. And you know, I don't know, for those who have watched like a bunch of these Roman historical films, I haven't, they have always been so very violent for me. I just was never able to watch it. But like 300 men and co, they really fought a lot of wars then. It was almost always a power tussle between one person and the other. It was always something happening. I don't think it was ever a boring time then, and I wonder what it must have been like for the citizens, for the people then, to have to live through such times and have to constantly be like, okay, this person that is there and this is the person that is there now, all in 1 year. That must have been a year for the books. I mean, it was. That is why we are reading about it now, almost 2,000 years later. That's going to round up our throwback session for this episode. There's always something buzzing, which is why every episode I always bring you what's buzzing right now, which is where we are at. We are at that place where we talk about what's buzzing, and there's a lot. The last episode that I was recording that got cut off, I actually wanted to cover the recap of the Love is Blind season for my girlies and guys who watch Love is Blind. This we can both agree. I'm just going to cut short the long recap that I had planned for that other episode because there's other things buzzing right now, but I'm just going to say that this season was crazy. I mean, season 5 was something, but season 6 was just, I feel like season 5's drama was streamlined. It was like this drama, then this drama, and with those two dramas were all focused on till the end of the season. It was like a consistent, the drama that started from the season is what ended the season, like just that one drama. But you see, season 6, the drama was so much, people couldn't keep up. It was so much. And to think when I watched the first episode, I thought Matthew, the door slammer, Matthew, the one that walks out in the middle of a conversation, Matthew, the one with a list of questions, Matthew, the one that looks like he has people's heads in his freezer at home, was going to be the theme of this episode's craziness, of this season's craziness. But no. There was a bunch of other things that smacked people from left and right. But I mean, we got a couple out of it, which is not bad. Considering how crazy season 5 was, we did get a couple out of it. So I feel like now we're just at the point where it's like, even if it's just one couple, we should just come out of each season. And I mean, Johnny and Amy, they are really cool. They are really sweet, very fun. And it was nice to see that they were able to work out. Although I would have put my money on them from the beginning. They just seemed, they gave me almost like Tiffany and Brett with no issues vibes. And yeah, I just felt like they were going to work it out. Clay and Edie had my blood pressure up all through the entire season. I was rooting for them so bad. And I was disappointed when he said no at the altar. But then, I don't know if I was disappointed again, because I felt like when I saw Edie try on her wedding dress, I just felt like it wasn't going to happen. And that's no shade to the dress. I think it was a lovely dress. But I don't know. I don't know. I just feel like maybe she had an idea that the marriage or the wedding wasn't going to go through. I sincerely don't know. I don't know. But I just had a feeling. But I was still hoping for the best. And let me not touch on Jimmy and Chelsea, because that was very frustrating. I do not want to judge, but that was very frustrating. And sincerely, I knew if they had said yes, no, okay, they didn't even get to the altar. If they had gotten to the altar, I would have been shocked. And then if any one of them had said yes, I would have been even more shocked. And then if both of them had said yes, I would have known that, okay, this is just a lie. This is just a lie. This is a farce. They're playing a game and they probably have something planned. Because it just never felt like it. It just, no shade on both of them, but I just felt like together it wasn't going to work out. That's just, it wasn't going to work out. And maybe Chelsea wasn't in her best place when the shoot was going on for Love is Blind. That's just what I'll put it as. And let's not even talk about Jeremy and Sarah Ann. I'm not going to speak on Sarah Ann. Jeremy, shitty dude. He has no excuse. He had no excuse. It was ridiculous. It was laughable. Even his mom couldn't defend his actions. It was that bad. And it wasn't making any sense. And frankly, I'm glad that the season is done. I don't have to see his face and his Hawaiian shirts. Because, like, please, why go on a show about getting married? Let's not even speak, because there was a bunch of people that went on that show and it was just laughable. And the amount of gaslighting this season, with people turning out to not be what they said they were, just ridiculous. Because the Trevor situation had everyone shook. The Trevor situation was just no one. That was a left curve. That was a punch coming out of the sidelines. No one was expecting it. And the fact that right after the release of the first few episodes, everyone was like, oh my God, Trevor is the gold retriever of the season. Such a cool dude. Perfect. Oh my God, protect Trevor. I didn't even know there was an hashtag protect Trevor. But clearly there was. Only for him to turn out to be one of the villains of this season. It was something else. And the reunion this season, oh my God. At least they brought in questions that people actually wanted to get the answers to. And they also brought in some previous participants and previous couples who were there to help us show our reaction, show the people's reaction in real time. It was really, really interesting to see the list. A lot of people were put on the spot. It was, I'm sure, a bunch of people were glad that that was over and done and dusted. But that's it on the Love is Blind train. Let's now talk about Didi, which is really, really trending right now, which is really buzzing right now, in not the best way. Right now, it's looking like an R. Kelly situation. Recently, the police raided his LA home and his Miami home in the investigation for the sex trafficking sales assaults case that they currently have going on against him. The allegations just keep getting more and more, and they keep finding some sort of quote-unquote supporting evidence or the other, and it's not looking good. a lot of people who are associated with him are also getting dragged into it. I mean, Harry and Meghan, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are getting dragged into Diddy's case. I don't know if the world is a small world or the celebrity circle is this one that is a small circle, because some things I never expect to hear together. Sometimes you hear them and you're like, what? This and this together? How? How? But yeah, that's what's going on right now, and it's not looking good. And his lawyers are coming out saying that they're going to end this manhunt. But ending the manhunt, like, is it going to prove that he's innocent of these charges? And people are beginning to actually wonder if that's going to be possible, because there's just a lot of circumstantial evidence, a lot of things that is pointing in the direction that even if he's not guilty of every single thing, you know, there's no smoke without fire. But then there are some people who are also of the opinion that this is like a smear campaign. But then there's no smoke without fire. So it's just at this point, it's a lot. And people are waiting to see what the outcome is. But Diddy has just always presented such an awesome image. I mean, he's big on family, his kids, they seem to love him. They're always together. Like, they're really big on family. And he just always presented such an awesome image. But I think this actually started last year, 2023, when Cassie came out with, when she sued him. I don't recall what she sued him for. Was it assault? I'm not certain. I think so. And they settled out of court, I think. And settling out of court, I think, points to maybe the fact that he was guilty and they just had to like settle it out of court. I am not certain exactly how that turned out, but I think since then is when this has started brewing up, and now it has just exploded into this mass chaos that is happening at the moment. And it's giving R. Kelly 2.0 at the moment, which will not be good. I mean, even if they do investigate and it turns out that he's not guilty of a lot of things already, this damage is hard to fix, you understand? And we live in a generation in times right now where cancelling is as easy as the click of a button. People get cancelled for fun these days, and it's not fun. And I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to pan out. The investigation is still on. And for people who grew up listening to Diddy, I mean, I did grow up listening to Diddy's music. It can be disappointing, you know, when you see things like this. But then at the same time, I tell myself, you know, it's not as if those people are gods or everything. People mess up and people fuck up, but it will be really disappointing for his like core fans, for his like diehard fans, to have to swallow the pill of the fact that, okay, this person that they've been looking up to for so many years was maybe not, you know, who they thought they were. Which is I can't even begin to imagine what that would be like. But moving on to lighter topics on what's buzzing, the Barbs are having the time of their lives right now. Nicki Minaj's tour is still currently in the US, but it is making headlines. And can we talk about the looks of the Barbs to these concerts? It's like a fashion show, literally. Like, nobody is turning, going, looking shabby to go see Nicki Minaj. It is so much fun. And I sincerely hope she adds more African countries to the tour. I think she's still going to add more dates, but right now it's looking like so much fun. And she also released that Press On Nails, which has also helped to settle the rumors that Nicki and Beyonce are not on speaking terms or having beef or anything, because she sent Beyonce a Press On Nails and Beyonce was all love and light, sent her a card back and everything, and Nicki reposted it. So people should chill with the rumors. Everything is good. Everything is good between the two queens. So let that rumor rest. But the tour looks like so much fun, and I'm so happy that when Nicki just came out with like a product or something, she did something that just, you know, fits with her brand, her personality, because almost everyone is doing clothes and makeup and everything these days. And people have been like, why is Nicki Minaj not like making use of her fan base much more, releasing products and things like that? But I remember when she released her drink collection back then, before a bunch of people started releasing their own drinks and their own champagne and everything, when she released that drink, it was also unique and it fitted her brand at the time. It was a fit for her brand personality and her brand positioning at the time. And these nails also just seem perfect and they are so pretty and everyone is like, the quality is so good. They are so nice and I'm glad she did it now. Clearly at each tour station, they are like nail boots and everything. The tour is lit. It is so much fun. And I certainly hope she brings it to more African countries because African babes are like begging. Literally begging. I think there's like an hashtag on TikTok or something. The begging is real. But that will certainly be fun for sure. Now, at the beginning of this episode, I mentioned that I had a new element added, which is the question of the episode. So before I delve into the main topic of the episode, I'm going to put across the question of the episode, the first question of the episode, or the first QOE. So the question of this episode is, what would you do if social media were to be cancelled tomorrow? If the announcement came up and they're like, last 24 hours to use social media, in 24 hours, social media is gone. What would you do? Are there steps you would take? What would you do? I feel like that would cause so much chaos and such an uproar, literally. But what would you do? I'm not trying to like inflect. That's the QOE, and you can answer using the Q&A element if you're listening on Spotify, or if you are subscribed, you can send in your answer, or you can also leave your response on social media, our TikTok page or Instagram or Threads preferably, or Twitter. What would you do if social media were to get cancelled tomorrow? Now, that would be something. Now, on this episode, I want to briefly touch on multitasking. Now, I feel like multitasking is seen as such a great trait. It's seen as a good skill. Like, if you were to go for a job interview and you say, oh, I'm good at multitasking, I'm good at this, it would be seen as, okay, yes, it's a good skill to have. But is multitasking always good? And I know that's like a weird question, but I don't think it's weird, because the truth is there's people who are not good at multitasking. There's people who can't multitask to save their lives. They really can't. And I've always prided myself on being someone who is good at multitasking, you know, at being someone who can do this and do that at the same time. But then I begin to wonder if it's the best thing. Like, of course, it's good to be able to do that, because these days time moves so fast and everything is so fast paced that you just need to be able to keep up. But multitasking, I've realized, it does take a toll on the brain when you're trying to juggle all these things together. It takes a toll on the brain, and it's what's this economic term? I always forget it when I want to use it. Opportunity cost. Yes, I feel like everything always has an opportunity cost, and multitasking has its own opportunity cost. I feel like multitasking, you are definitely like selling yourself short on certain things or giving up certain things. And if you are giving up certain things or not giving your best to certain things, is that really multitasking? Like, would it not be best to just like do one thing first and then do the other thing? Which I really don't know, but that's just the thoughts that popped into my head. I was like, multitasking. I'm always multitasking, always, almost like all the time multitasking, like doing one task, planning another one, trying to juggle two things, like time management, big skill. And sometimes I just feel like multitasking, especially when you are under pressure, may not let you give yourself or give the best of yourself to the things that you're doing, and then it ends up being almost the same as you doing one thing first and then doing another thing. But whichever one works best, I guess, but it's always something worth considering before you say, okay, I can do this and this at the same time. Actually weigh if doing one thing first and then doing the other thing will not be better, you know, than trying to do both things at the same time. Like, would you have to give less to one task than the other? Would you, you know, have to not do up to standard on one thing to be able to multitask? That's definitely worth considering, and that's just a little tidbit I have to share for you guys on the main for this episode, because we live in a world now where I feel like it's rare people that actually just do one thing. It's very rare to find someone who's like, this is just the one thing that I do, and it's just this. I feel like even people that do one thing, they almost end up having to take up several roles within that one thing. So it's, at the end of the day, you are doing multiple things at the same time. So it's definitely something that is very important to consider, like really weigh your options and, you know, see which one works best, I guess. And planning will certainly help. Like if you're able to organize, I feel like organizing makes multitasking work easier and will help with not getting your brain scrambled. And I feel like it's worth paying attention to. Now, to round off this episode, as with every episode, we are going to be rounding off with the kickback section. And for this episode, I have a confession and an am I the asshole as usual. I actually have two am I the assholes and one confession. I'm going to start off with am I the asshole. And this headline reads, am I the asshole for not declining with my husband after he was kicked off for being too drunk? Let's read this. So, 28-year-old female recently married her husband Adam, who is 30. They have the same ethnicity and they both speak the same language. However, she says, I am more fluent as I go to our home country more often as my extended family are there, and it was just my parents, me and my sisters here, so I assume they relocated. Now, Adam's grandparents are the ones who came to our country first, so he has most of his family here and we see them more often, so I am close with his family. My parents are divorced, and around the time I started dating Adam, my dad moved back to our home country. I regularly call him, but since he moved, he has come to see me twice and then was at my wedding. My dad disapproves of Adam, and I have had fights with Adam in the past about how I feel I have made more of an effort with his family and he hasn't done the same for me. Both my parents speak our own language, and when we started dating, Adam wasn't conversationally fluent, so there was a barrier to them initially bonding, and it was more apparent when my dad came to stay with us. But in the lead up to the wedding, my dad stayed with us and it went fine. I have been planning a trip to my home country to surprise my dad and asked Adam to come as well. He agreed and then balked when I said we were going to stay with my dad and made what I thought was a joke about having to drink before meeting him. I didn't find it funny and Adam later apologized. However, yesterday was our flight and I was coming to the airport after work, so Adam went early with our suitcases to check in and we were meant to meet up later. He was drunk and the flight attendant wouldn't let him on the plane. I called my brother-in-law who would take care of Adam and left my brother-in-law's phone number with the attendant taking care of Adam, and I stayed on my flight. My own country is far, so tickets are expensive, and I took leave off from work for the trip so I don't get off with Adam. Adam is now upset with me, saying I left him in a situation where I was drunk, and if roles were reversed, he would have never left me alone when I was drunk, but I don't think that is fair. Wow. I sincerely do not know what to say on that. First of all, can we just all agree on the fact that Adam seems like an asshole? Like, I don't know what the situation may be, but the fact that you said it, she thought it was a joke, she didn't find it funny, you had to apologize, and then you went ahead to do it. Nah, that's stinky moves. Real stinky moves. Leaving him at the airport, cold moves. Do I think he's an asshole move? Essentially, I'm not certain. Like I said, everything comes at an opportunity cost. Look at the cost of those plane tickets and the cost of staying to take care of a grown-ass 30-year-old man that chose to get drunk. I mean, I feel like the decision speaks for itself. Anyway, let me round off this episode with this confessional that says, I stabbed a kid with a pen in 8th grade and forgot about it. The kid was so irritating, he kept trying to touch me and he made some rude ass comments, so I stabbed him with a pen and I just remembered today. I don't feel bad though. It was low-key out of the blue because I never warned him I was going to before I did it. A well-deserved punishment. I didn't realize how much more violent I used to be. Oh, honestly, the things we get up to as kids. I remember one time when I was in kindergarten. I was in nursery. And then I sincerely don't know why they make nursery kids stay in school from morning till night. Like, to be honest, we're not learning anything, and that's just the truth. But I was in school and we used to have two lunch breaks then, one like around 12 and then one later in the day, like around 3 p.m. or something like that. So you usually had to like pack two lunches, and it would usually like be one like main like lunch and then like snacks for the other lunch break. And on that day, I remember I actually ate a classmate's lunch. And it wasn't intentional. I don't know. It seemed we had the same cooler. We had the same like lunch pack. When they brought it into class, the teacher was also wrong because she did not specify that, oh, this meal is for this person. So I just saw the pack and I assumed that, yes, okay, they brought it for me and I ate it. Oh my God. The mortification of that day, I can't forget it till this day. I was so mortified. And the next day, of course, they were like, oh, I had to apologize and everything. My tiny little self. I felt so embarrassed. It was ridiculous. Anyway, that's me ending this episode with my own tiny little confession. I hope you guys had fun chilling with this episode. If you're up to any chores, hope you were able to get it done faster. And I will chill, hang out with you in the next episode. Do not forget to subscribe to the show if you're listening on whichever platform you're listening from, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find the show anywhere. Please leave us a follow and also leave your thoughts on the show by giving the show a review and a rating. And do not forget to share your answers to the question of the episode with me so they could be featured in the next episode.